until there starts to get so many people that you can't see me, I'm going to get closer to you. Which, oh man, it's like, man, I didn't want to smell you, golly. Anyway, no, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning, and the title of the message is Holy Communion or Compromised Faith. Holy Communion or Compromised Faith. I would think, well, maybe everybody else is better at this Christian walk than I am, but I would think that there's been times when most of us have had those times when we have compromised our faith. Would you not agree with that? And unfortunately, for me, where that's happened the most is with my family. You know, I mean, it's just like we get comfortable, and the next thing you know, we're doing things that we normally wouldn't do around anybody else. We lash out at our family members because we're comfortable with them. We say things to our family members that we would say to nobody else, and we treat family members in ways that we treat nobody else because we've become comfortable, because it's just kind of like, all right, this is just the way it is. They're going to love me no matter what. I don't have a certain standard that I have to meet. And shame on us for having that attitude. Just shame on us. But we're going to talk about the fact that if we're not careful, we're going to compromise our faith as opposed to pledging our allegiance to where it belongs, which is Jesus Christ, and that unity or that koinonia that needs to occur between us and God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is what we're going to be starting in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. By the way, I'm getting new glasses this week so I can be able to see better. So if I happen to mess up on a word like husband and say whiff, you know, you'll forgive me. Oh, I know. I'm glad you love me. All right, it says this. It says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? When I am saying, what am I saying then? That an idol is anything, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to idol is anything? Rather, that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. When you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? And so I think this is an interesting thing. You have to understand that the purpose of Paul writing these letters to the church of Corinth is he is addressing some stuff that's going on in the church that shouldn't be going on in the church. So it's very important that we realize that he's saying, listen, I'm doing this for the betterment of you. Your relationship with Jesus needs to be very important, very sacred. You can't really be in two different places. All right, so I need, all right, come here, Stephanie, come here, Tilly. I need y'all to do something for me. Come here. All right, so this is the deal. So if let's just say, for example, over here is Jesus, and over here is the world, okay? And so this is y'all's relationship with the Lord, okay? But you kind of lack some things over here in the world, which we all do at times, right? But this is the deal. If this is the relationship you have with the Lord, here, come here. Both of you grab onto it and walk over to Jesus. All right, walk over together with to Jesus. All right, now stop. All right, so you are in unity walking toward Jesus, right? But let's just say that Stephanie, Stephanie's like, why is it going? But let's just say Stephanie's like, okay, Tilly, I know we're walking toward Jesus, but man, there's some stuff over here that I kind of like. And Tilly's like, but no, this is our relationship with the Lord. And so what I want you to do is tear that off and walk over there. So this is the deal. So when that happens, our relationship with the Lord has been broken because you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If we stay in a relationship with the Lord, it'll be in unity. But if we cannot split our life up and expect anything good that's going to come out of it, because if you're in both worlds, there's no way you can be, your allegiance can't be both places, right? No, don't lay down and die. What happens is we can come to that place where things can come back together, but you can't stay in the world and have things come back together in your relationship with Jesus. Do you hear what she said? She said you can't fully utilize this piece of paper to its fullest because it's been broken. That's good. Hey, there you go. There's a prophetic word from Tilly right there. Amen. Amen. So thank you, girls. Thank you. So this is so what this is called is there has to be that koinonia between us and God the Father. There has to be that. And what is koinonia? It is communion with God, Christian fellowship, community, and not only that, a community with the followers of Christ. And so we have to have that koinonia relationship with not only God the Father, but also each other so that we can strengthen each other. Everybody has those days. You know, I mean, if let's just say, for example, sometimes I don't want to bring work home. And so it's not that I don't want Christy to know about, it's not that I'm trying to hide anything from her, I just don't want her to worry about certain things. But when I walk in a pissy mood, she knows there's something not right. And so why not have that koinonia relationship not only with God the Father, but also her, so that she can share in that and lift me up? What if she says that one thing that's going to help me look at that situation through a different lens? And the thing is you don't have to live in the same house with that person for that to happen. You know how many times that Brad and I have had a conversation over the past 8 years, and he has helped me to see things from a different perspective many times. And so guys, this is the deal. We are a family. And I'm telling you, if you call up one of your family members and they say something that's a little judgmental, you have a responsibility to say, listen, guy, I called you because I trusted you. I don't want you to be... busted my kneecap because I was transparent with you and said I slipped up and I did something I shouldn't have done. Now, of course, what you need to say, let's say that I called you up and said, hey, I slipped up, I messed up, and Carl, he's a good friend, so Carl would say, well, hey, bro, you know, it's going to be okay, I still love you, but before you do that next time, why don't you give me a shout? And let's talk through this so you don't be a bonehead for 30 minutes and do something stupid. I mean, we've got to love, we need to love each other. And if we call each other up, we need to say, listen, yeah, I still love you, but hey, before you make that choice next time, let's have a conversation. Trust me enough. And folks, I'm telling you, so that's the type of koinonia relationship we need to have. But that is what's going to help us not compromise our faith and understand how important that Holy Communion is that we have with the Father. Amen. Do y'all agree with that? Okay. So Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to flee from idolatry, making a theological argument rooted in the Lord's Supper. He stresses the participation in the cup and in the bread in sharing, which is that koinonia relationship, in the body and the blood of Christ. Therefore, Christians cannot also participate in pagan rituals or idol feast. Doing so provokes the Lord to jealousy. See, the Lord, He wants our affections to be toward Him, because guess what? His affections are toward us. Look what He did. He died on the cross for us. And because He died on the cross for us, our sin was paid for. We were talking to one of our friends yesterday. His name is Buster. What a great man of God. And if you don't know Buster, you need to know Buster. That's all I got to say about that. But he was talking about how literally on the cross, Jesus became the very thing that we disdain, the very thing that makes us cringe, the very thing that makes us go, when you hear that person's name and you do this, you probably haven't forgiven them. You probably haven't. I mean, and you know what? So let's say you forgive them today and it's forgiven. And then something happens and that scab gets knocked off tomorrow. And you're like, but I already forgave them. But it still hurts when the scab gets knocked off. Well, guess what? Deal with it again. I'm telling you, if you keep taking it to the Father, because his affections are towards you, He will eventually heal that hurt, where when you do hear that person's name, it's not like, whew, if they were close enough, there would be a for sure jab in the throat. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, those things, maybe you're better than me, those thoughts come through my head. If I never heard this person's voice again or saw their face ever again in life, it would be too soon. I mean, those thoughts go through my head. And I'm sorry, I'm your pastor, but I'm broken. Okay, I'm human. But this is the thing, the Father can help us get through that, right? Amen. So the Lord does it, He is jealous. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, it says, the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. So I mean, if your affections aren't toward Him and you don't want to be with Him, He's not going to make you be with Him. So that choice is an all-consuming fire. That means you have a broken relationship with Him, and what is hell? An all-consuming fire. He wants your affections to be toward Him. That doesn't mean that we don't have some work to do. That doesn't mean that, I mean, however old you are today, it's taking you this long to get here. So, it's, you know, there's a really good chance it's not going to be overnight that you're just going to change and everything's going to be okay. But there could be a process. Like I said, I've led a lot of people to the Lord, and out of all these years of leading someone to the Lord, the first time I led somebody to the Lord, I was in fourth grade, and his name was Scott Stinson. He's still serving the Lord to this day. But it was a process for Scott. Two people in my life, as soon as they accepted Christ, the next day everything was changed and they never went back. Only two people out of the thousands of people that I've led to the Lord. For the rest of us, it's a process. That's why the scriptures say we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Does that mean that we work for our salvation? No, we work because of our salvation. It's not that we work to get God's love. We work because we love Him. And we show Him our love through our service. Amen? Do you understand that? Is that understandable? It's not like you're checking off a box. And if you think you're checking off a box, we need to talk. Because if you're checking off the box to say, to measure your walk with the Lord, I'm sorry that you have been taught that false doctrine, because that is a false doctrine. You work because you love the Lord, not because you want Him to love you. You work because of your salvation, not because you want to get salvation. Does that make sense? Okay, great. So, Paul gives us some perspectives. Flee from idolatry, and also a logical and spiritual appeal to an understanding of communion, like being in that proper koinonia relationship. He gives us that perspective. And a stern warning about provoking God's jealousy. And what does that look like? That looks like our affections being towards something other than God. And that can be a spouse. That can be children. That can be a job. That can be anything. Anything that comes before you and God are the things that ticks Him off. Ticks Him off. We can dance around this all we want. But if we look at verse 14, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." It is very clear the first step to not having an idol is, if you think there could be an idol, run from it. Now, husbands, that does not mean run from your wife when she asks you to do something. That's not what that means. It means honor the father through serving your wife, or honor the father through serving your husband. But, you know, let's not take it to extremes. I mean, she comes up while she goes, "Wait a minute, this is going to involve idol worship. I can't do that for you." No, that's not what I'm saying. And you know that's not what I'm saying. And Carl quit smirking. Anyway, I'm joking. but you know what I'm saying. I mean, we've got to be logical about this. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Come out from among them and be separate." This is what the Lord says. We're supposed to come out from among the world, which in this particular scripture, He's referring to the Gentiles, but actually, that's what you are. Anybody that is not of the Father and who He has called. He said, come out from among them. Don't do things like these people have been doing things, because this does not honor me. That's what He's basically saying. All right, so what exactly is idolatry? I mean, that might go through your head. And basically, it's just extreme admiration, love, or reverence for someone or something. I don't know. You know the things that you have sacrificed for. Did that honor the Father? I mean, think about it. You made choices because you're selfish. I've made choices because I'm selfish. Does that mean you're a bad person? No, it just means that we've got some work to do. But there's the acknowledgement. I think we need to recognize exactly what idolatry is. And it's not necessarily you worshiping something with your lips, but worshiping something with your life. See what I'm saying? We have become comfortable in our own sin, and we justify what we do and even spiritualize what we do. And that's unfortunate. And I'm as guilty as anybody. But so Paul is urging, he's pleading with the Corinthians to run from this situation. Verse 15 through 17, it says, "I speak as wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the Christ? The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for all partakers of the one bread." So there, he's calling for unity. He wants that oneness relationship with Him. He wants everything to be focused in toward Him. Paul appeals to the wisdom, "Judge for yourselves what I say." That's basically what's coming down to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1, it says, "Now concerning the things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." We know what we're ultimately, if we sit back and we think about it, we know what we're doing, because you can look at your schedule, and everybody, whether it's written down or not, you all have a schedule every week long. Where is most of your schedule being? What is it? Where is it leaning toward? Where are you spending your money? What about the real estate in your mind? This is very valuable real estate. What's going through your mind on a daily basis? I have to check myself. There's sometimes I can just wander out all over the place, and not that I'm necessarily thinking about anything wrong, but I'm not thinking about the things that the Father would want me to think about. I mean, and so I don't want you to sit here and think, oh my goodness, you know, I'm just a bad person because I always don't think about the Father. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying be a better steward of what is given. Just be a better steward of it. I mean, wake up in the morning and say, Father, I die to myself. I allow you to live through me, transform my heart, transform my mind, and allow my affections and thoughts to be on you. And I'm telling you, you will be a better spouse. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better grandparent. You'll be a better friend. You'll be a better employee, because everything that we do should be as into worship to the Father. Everything. So he's just basically saying, listen, you need to be cautious with this. Paul is basically saying we all knew what it looks like to give something for something else. We all have made sacrifices for the things that we want. We've had sleepless nights. We've driven hundreds of miles. We've gone into debt. We've broken relationships to make other relationships stronger. I mean, we've all done these things. And so I don't think that I necessarily have to go into great depth. But, you know, in verse 16, the cup and the blood represent the deep fellowship with Christ. That's where it should be. There should be that deep relationship with Christ. And as you have that deep relationship, that koinonia relationship, there is a unity and a oneness that comes. And through that oneness and unity and that koinonia, there is provision. He's a good Father. He wants the best for you. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to succeed. Understand that. But what on the opposite end, you flip that coin over, what does the enemy want? The enemy wants you to fail. The enemy wants you to hate God. The enemy wants you to hate your family members. The enemy wants you to always... I mean, are you that person that can find something negative with anything? If you're that person, let's stop. You're breathing. You're here. You have purpose. You have meaning. Granted, some of us are in tougher situations than others. That is, you know, it is what it is. But that doesn't mean that you can't learn, grow, and succeed through that. Through that. Amen? All right. And then in verse 17 is one bread, which is one body, and the unity of believers. We all come to this place, and it's vital that we understand that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6, is there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. If you will put him in his proper place and you will posture yourself before him, you will receive, and they will bring unity and clarity to the things in your life and the things in my life. And guys, I'm telling you something. There's something to be said for someone walking in unity. Now, has anybody, I mean, I used to watch a lot of high school football. And this one little team that was so interesting. There's a community out in the Panhandle, and there's a one little town that's called Spring Lake, and 5 miles down the road there's a town called Earth. Halfway in between the two towns is a school called Spring Lake Earth. Okay, it's out in the middle of a corn patch, and these little farm boys, I mean, little bitty guys. There's a few big guys, but most of them were little. And it was so interesting. They go against these big teams, and they would just whoop them. I mean, would just whoop them good. And I was sitting there, I was sitting there watching them, and their coach ran this little play, and I'm sure you all know, it was Levere. And those little linemen would all get together, and in unison, they would just go march right down the middle of the field. And they had their little running back, about 5'4", weighed about 125, and he would just stay behind all these little guys. They would just all go, and they would just march down the field and just score. Every time they touched the ball, they would score. And it was just the same play. You know why? Because they had a common goal, and they were in unity. And they accomplished something. The other team, they'd get out there, they'd try to do all these fancy plays. The line would miss their blocks. These big old guys, they'd miss their blocks. They'd come in, and these little guys would tackle the big guys. And it was just crazy. But if these big guys would have stuck together and been unified, they could have accomplished more. So I learned something watching this little team, the Spring Lake Earth Wolverines. And it was neat to watch it, but it taught me something all those years ago. If we will come together, we can accomplish much. And so the Father is calling us in to be unified under His banner, under His guidance. And the thing is you know that hurt that you feel, you know that disappointment that you feel. If you come under His guidance, He can heal those things. He can bring you, I guess you'd say, kind of bring you up to level, so to speak. I mean, and then we look at verse 18, and it says, "Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" So here's some historical examples. Israel sacrifices. Those who eat are partakers of the altar. Spiritual participation through ritual is real. If we go back and look at the Old Testament, we see all the things that had to be done to please God. But in the New Testament, who was the ultimate sacrifice? Jesus Christ. So Jesus completely fulfilled the law, and He was the ultimate sacrifices. No longer did you have to do all of this stuff to get the favor of God. I don't even think that you had to do all that stuff to get the favor of God, even in the Old Testament. But we are in a society that is a merit-based society. And so if you do this, 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 and this, you're good. And if you don't, you're bad. And the Father, all Jesus said is you're forgiven. Accept it. And then you do this, this, and this, and this because you love Him and because you are forgiving and you're forgiven and you want to point people to Him for a better way. So it's something that we need to understand. It's something that we need to realize. Then in verse 19 and 20, it says, "What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons." So this is where we kind of, where the lines for some of us get a little blurry. Because we don't even realize that the things that we're doing aren't honoring to the Father. We've gotten so comfortable with, and we're so ignorant to what the Scriptures teach, that we participate in things that we probably should have participated in. Now, you know, I know that, you know, this isn't the greatest, this isn't the most fun Scriptures to talk about, but the reality is... there is involvement from demons in most of our everyday lives if we will allow it. It really is. Idols are nothing but sacrifices. Idols are nothing but sacrifices to idols are offered to demons. Think about what I'm saying. Idols, there's nothing there unless we allow there to be something there. And when we make sacrifices to those things, that opens up doors for the demonic activity. Whether it be through the shows that we watch, the music that we listen to, the things that we read, the thoughts that we have. The scriptures tell us to take every thought captive. That just because you have a thought that is not just great. And by the way, side note, I'm so glad there's not a speaker hooked up to my brain. Some of the stuff that goes through my brain, I'm kind of like, where did that come from? Now, that thought going through my head, is that necessarily a bad thing? No, I'm supposed to take it captive and not let it take root inside of me. Okay? But it's really, really important that we understand that if we are putting our affections to something that we're idolizing, then we're paying homage to that, opening up doors for the demonic. That's exactly what we're doing. And then in verse 20, it's talking about participating in idol feast aligns believers with demonic forces. Now, you can kind of take that whichever way you want. I would strongly encourage all of you not to have anything to do with Halloween. Okay, there's nothing that you can find from a scriptural basis that is good about Halloween. As far as some of the other holidays that we celebrate, you know, Thanksgiving, hey, there's nothing wrong with giving thanks to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. The birth of Jesus, if you're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the fact that we're honoring him is a good thing, but let's keep it there. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I love you. I want to honor somebody with a gift. But I think that the birth of Christ needs to be focused on the birth of Christ. I mean, if you want to take your wife or your husband out and honor them, you know, with a meal or a little trip or something like that, that's fine. I just wouldn't connect it with what the world calls Christmas, because I don't want to take the focus away from what we're celebrating. There's just different discussions on when Jesus literally was born. I don't think anybody knows the exact time. I do know that it was not December 25th. That's for a fact. But the thing is one time a year we can openly talk about Jesus being born and people will listen, you know. And so, you know, there's a balancing act that we kind of play here at Grace and Mercy. We do honor Jesus's birth. We don't put up Christmas trees in the church. We don't have quote unquote Christmas parties. We have a celebration holiday meal kind of in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, and if different Sunday school classes wanted to do some stuff together and enjoy themselves, there's nothing wrong with the youth doing something, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But guys, let's keep the focus where it needs to be, on the birth of Jesus Christ. Some of these other things, there's nothing wrong with us enjoying the fact that we live in a free country. July the 4th is coming up. There's nothing wrong with, you know, just being grateful. There's nothing wrong with honoring our military guys, you know, what they've done. You know, my son's in the military. My dad was in the military. There's other, I'm sure y'all have family members that are either have been or were in the military. There's nothing wrong with those things. But let's always kind of keep things in their proper place, okay? As far as some of the Jewish holidays, I believe that we need to look into those and study those, because there is value in what they celebrate and why they celebrate it, and we can learn from those things. Does it mean that we're not going to heaven if we don't know? That's not what it means. But there's everything right with us knowing more about what the scriptures teach, you know? So there's just some things that I believe we need to be cautious about. Now, we need to be exclusively loyal to God, because that's what he requires. He wants us to honor him. Let's look in verses 21 and 22. And it says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke? Now, he's basically saying, or if you do that, what is it going to do? Provoke the Lord to jealousy? Do you want to do that? Do you really want the creator of all things to be jealous? I don't want that. And if you do, are we strangers? Are we a stranger to a stranger than he? Are we stranger than he? Huh? See, that's why I need glasses. Stronger. Just like the whiff. Stronger. Are you stranger than he? Well, yeah, you're stranger than God. Of course you are. But are you stronger than God? No, you're not stronger than God. Sorry, guys. Hey, you've got a human pastor, so he's going to do anyway. So, but you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And that's what Tilly and Stephanie, they showed us. There's got to be that unity, and if there's that broken relationship, boy, I do need glasses. Anyway. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 15 and 16, basically the scriptures point out that we have a relationship with God or the world. It can't be both. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and find, and that they shall be my people. And then what God is doing in verse 20, 22, it's provoking God's jealousy is dangerous. He is not to be taken lightly. God is not to be taken lightly. So we must flee idolatry in all forms, not just statues or temples. Modern idolatry includes materialism, power, entertainment, and self-worship. I don't want you to think it's just like, oh, I've got a statue here that no. The idol could be yourself. The idol could be yourself. The idol could be, I want to always be entertained. The idol could be, I want power. I want to be in control. Or the idol could be, I just want more stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with stuff, but is it in its proper place? Identity. You've got to realize that who you are in Christ, and you need to distance yourself from anything that is competing with God's place in your heart. Think about what I just said. Distance yourself from anything that is competing with God's place in your heart. It's people's business, you know, what they do. But you know, it really bothers me when I hear certain people and certain reasons why they're not serving the Father. I mean, it just bothers me, and that's a... that's on me. It's not on them. Maybe I need to get some things right in my heart. But you need to really be cautious what you're doing and where your affections lie. Take communion seriously. Participating in the Lord's Supper is not a ritual, but a sacred fellowship with Christ and His people. So when we do take communion here within the next month or so, what you need to do is you need to search in your heart and see if there's anyone that you haven't forgiven. And that person may be yourself. Maybe you haven't let some things go. Maybe you walk in guilt and shame about, you know, some of the choices you've made, some of the situations you found yourself in. And that's just not a good place to be. Because this is the deal. You have been forgiven. And the scriptures say your sins have been thrown as far as the east is from the west. So if you've been forgiven and you're constantly going to the Father and saying, forgive me from the exact same thing, well, so you don't believe that God can do what He said He can do? So I mean, Now, once again, forgiveness and consequence are two different things, guys. I mean, my elbow has been healed, but I still have a scar and three screws in my elbow from crushing my elbow. I know that I crushed my elbow every time I play the guitar. Every time. I know. That's the reason that sometimes I play the guitar down here and sometimes I play it up here by my ear, because my hand won't turn over right to play the chords. But that doesn't mean that my elbow's not healed, but it is I do have that reminder that I made a wrong choice by not wearing the cleats that night to Church League softball in 1999. You know? I mean, that's just the way it is. If I would have, my feet wouldn't have slipped out from underneath me and I wouldn't have crushed my elbow. I mean, that's all it comes down to. Was that necessarily a sin? No, but it was really dumb not to do what I should have been doing. It would have taken a whole 30 seconds to put on my cleats, Albino. That's it. So, anyway, so we need to realize that it's serious business when we are taking communion. It's a proclamation of exclusive loyalty to Him. That's what communion is. Think about what I just said. Don't let those words just pass through your ears. Communion, and if you can't do this, let me encourage you with love. Let me encourage you with love. Don't take communion if you can't do it. Don't. I mean, it's a proclamation. That means you're shouting from the rooftops. It's a proclamation of exclusive loyalty to Him. Who is Him? Jesus Christ. That's what communion is. It is serious business, and it is not something to be taken lightly. Now, am I casting judgment upon any churches that partake and have communion as a community of believers every Sunday? No, I'm not. That's between them and the Lord. We have communion available every Sunday. Anytime anybody wants to take communion, they are welcome to do so. And I've even got a questionnaire back there that you can read through to make sure that your heart is pure. But as a community of believers, we're going to take communion anywhere from 4 to 6 times a year. Now, there have been times when the leaders have come to me and said, hey, we feel led to take communion as a community of believers. We do that. That's how we do it. But the reality of it is it's available. Every time we're here at the church, it's available. And you can do it, and it's between you and the Father. But just understand, it's a proclamation of exclusive loyalty to Jesus Christ. That's what communion is. Okay? Has anybody ever heard communion explained in that way? Well, if you have, great. If you haven't, now you have. So it's good. We're all learning together, right? Beware of compromise. Spiritual compromise, trying to serve God in something else, is dangerous. We've got to be conscious that the enemy is constantly trying to get between us and our relationship with Jesus. You are a target. You know how I know you're a target? You're here this morning. You're a target. The enemy absolutely hates you, wants you to die, wants you to fail. Let's just get that clear. So if you walk outside and you do something stupid, sometimes it's because you did it you were stupid, and sometimes the enemy attacked you. Don't blame the enemy every time you're a bonehead. That's giving him way too much credit. Sometimes you're just doing what you do because you want to do, and that is just being selfish. That's called self-worship. I'm going to do it my way no matter what anybody else says. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about that one? Because I don't want us to walk out of here and be confused. Okay? Because this is really important stuff. This is basic Christian living foundational stuff. But if you don't get it right, the rest of your walk won't be right. So this is really important, although it would be considered to some elementary. But I would rather you be really good at the elementary stuff before we get into the meat and the heavy meat. Because that's coming, guys. The meat and the heavy meat is coming. But it's important that we get this stuff right. All right. Christian faith demands full allegiance with God. He wants it. Remember, we read the verse we read out of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. He's an all-consuming fire, and he's very jealous. Okay? Now, here's the one where we, most of us, have missed the mark on this part. Okay? I'm just going to tell you. And if you don't think you've missed the mark, then you really have missed the mark. So, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? All right, here it goes. Discern your spiritual association. There has to be discernment in your life. And if you don't know what discernment is, it's like the little radar that goes up if something's right or not. Okay, so if let's just say you have the radar and you get that yuck feeling inside. Well, is that really the Lord saying you better watch this, or you need to pay attention to this? Watching and paying attention are two different things. Why? If you watch it, if you're watching this, it's kind of like, okay, this is not of God. But if it's the other, what's going on? What if the Holy Spirit is trying to convict you to change your behavior? So you can have the weird feeling inside if it's bad or if it's correction. Would you agree with that? I've felt that conviction yuck feeling in my stomach. And to be honest with you, I really don't like that one. Now the discernment where something's wrong, okay, you know, that's okay. I can deal with that. I can just turn around and walk out. But if it's the conviction yucky feeling, I don't like that one at all. I don't like the way that one makes you feel at all. But where, and these are the questions that you can ask. Where am I giving my devotion and energy? And this is how to discern your spiritual association with whatever situation. Okay, think about it. Where am I giving my devotion and energy? Does it align with Christ? When you're asking about that specific situation, does that align with Christ? These are little tools that you can put in your tool belt that you can use every day. Every day, okay? And so, I'm not asking you to climb Mount Everest. I'm asking you to be an overcomer over the next five steps. See what I'm saying? And if you accomplish those five steps, then you get five more, and you get five more. Soon, you'll conquer that mountain. Amen? Come on. That's what we want. So even seemingly harmless things can have spiritual consequences if they pull us away from God. Even the small things. So, I love you guys, and I thank you for listening to me. I'm going to stop this. All right. Oh, I guess I'm already off. It don't matter. Oh.